It's great to be here at St. Anne's this morning. I've had all sorts of connections with this parish over the years, but it's really good to be with you here as your bishop. I'm grateful for your rector, Marnie, for 2 years here. I didn't actually quite realize that it was 2 years here. It's funny, we were saying how time sort of flies in COVID and sort of didn't either, but wonderful. I'm so great. I'm grateful for the work that she does, obviously here at St. Anne's, but also in the diocese, also in the province, also in the national church, and even beyond that. She has many gifts, and I know you're well aware of that, and I'm very thankful that she's here as your rector. Also great to have Chris as our deacon this morning. Wonderful to see Chris. Haven't seen her for a little while with summer and all sorts of things. So also great to have Chris in our midst this morning too. But I'm also grateful to all of you for your ministry in this part of Richmond and well beyond that. It is really good to be here with all of you. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it feels like it's getting harder and harder to trust people. And in some ways, perhaps many ways, I feel very uncomfortable in saying this, but the truth seems to be getting stretched thinner and thinner in many different places. And so it seems harder to trust other people. We read the news, we listen to reporters, and too often we hear stories that only add to our distrust of others. In reality, we walk on this planet and we almost expect people to lie to us, to try to cheat us. There are scams all over the place. We receive an email from someone we don't know and wonder if somehow it's a ploy to get something from us. We answer the phone to an unknown number, I'm sure you've never had this, and hear a voice telling us that we are in trouble with the law or the government or some other institution, and it has now simply become part of our day. We feel we can't trust politicians. We can't trust what's said in the newspapers. We can't trust what's advertised on TV. It's hard to know who to trust or who we can believe. And it's not a good feeling. We want to trust our neighbors or someone in need or a person we suddenly come to meet. There should be some form of standard of how we treat one another, how we look after one another, how we care for one another. There should be a standard way that draws a line in the sand and says, this is how we ought to behave, and nothing else will be tolerated. There should be expectations in how we should act and how others should act so that we can build up relationships and trust and respect for the dignity of every human being. This needs to be in place. Jesus looked out at the crowd, which had formed around him, and he said, you know, if someone cheats you out of something, here's what you should do. We heard about it in the gospel reading, but let me repeat some of it again. He said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. He goes on to give a few more details about it, but it's not a bad summary. Go and talk to the one who has insulted you, or wronged you, or cheated you, or embarrassed you, or said things they ought not to have said. Go and talk to them and sort it out. Speak to each other and build up trust. Expect the other to listen to you. Expect the other to want to sort it out as well. Expect the other to want to reach resolution and build up community, build up relationships, build up society as a whole. Jesus reminded them, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." And if that's our focus, then our whole world feels very different. Now, in my mind's eye, and it doesn't say this in the Bible, but in my mind's eye, after he had finished speaking, Jesus looked out at the crowd, and the crowd looked at Jesus, and maybe no one said it out loud, but I'm pretty sure that lots of people thought, "That will never work. It's a great idea and everything, Jesus, but it will never work." And the reason I'm so confident that people thought that is because that is what has happened throughout history. Even in times when we claim to be living into the gospel the most, there is that niggling feeling that we cannot trust one another, that we can't risk losing face, risk pushing back against our own insecurities and admit that we were wrong, and go and seek reconciliation with our neighbor. Down through history, it has been so hard to do this. So hard to trust that we will be heard and respected and loved and understood. Why is that? Mostly, I think, because we have a great fear of not being right, not having all the right answers, admitting that we have made mistakes, that we've erred. We have a deep fear of this. So deep, we're willing to lose relationships rather than admit that we were wrong, or that we really can agree to disagree, or that we do not have to see things in exactly the same way. It's hard for us to be vulnerable. This past summer, I was able to travel to Toledo in Spain. It's a beautiful walled city that is very much worth the visit. A wonderful city to wander and take in and learn more about its history. And while I was there, I learned that for centuries in Toledo, three religions, Muslim, Jewish, and Christian, all lived and worked and presumably trusted one another in a great harmony. You can still see it today in the architecture of the place where these three great religions impacted the style and the design of how the city functioned. But the Spanish Inquisition brought an end to this because forcing people to have faith in Jesus Christ seemed to make more sense than finding ways to live together. Violence seemed to be the way that made sense to convince others that the gospel of Jesus Christ was centered on love and grace. It seems bizarre, almost ridiculous, but that seemed to be the thinking. On September the 1st, we in the Anglican Church entered the season of creation. And to state the obvious, it is a time to focus on the world around us, this gift of creation in which we live and love. And it's a time to explore and grow and change. A time to give thanks for the incredible beauty which catches our breath, for sunsets and ant colonies and the habitat of a pileated woodpecker. A time to honor the life cycle of all creatures, butterflies, tadpoles, ravens, and ourselves. A time to recognize that we continue to destroy the very air that we need to breathe. That the fires and the floods and the reduced fish stock and the destruction of different habitats in this part of the world are caused by us humans. So intent are we on not trusting one another that we can fail to see the forest for the trees. So intent are we on earning a profit that we lose sight of who and what is being destroyed? So intent are we on control and making things in our own image that we lose sight of what is most important? That indeed there is a whole other way to be, a whole other way to focus, a whole other purpose to life other than what usually draws our attention. And Jesus reminded of this in the gospel for today. Remember, he said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." These are important and life-altering words. When we focus on the presence of Jesus in gatherings, large or small, we start seeing the world in a whole different way. We start seeing the central part of life to be something different than what is being sold in too many places. We start to see that God is calling us to something more. Jesus described what he thought the world would look like if we started to take this seriously. He told us what might happen if we really looked for the presence of Jesus in gatherings of 2 or 3 or 30 or 147. He said it would look like the situation where if someone does something to offend us or against us or breaks our trust, he said, go and speak to that person. He said, act as if we see God's presence in them and that they will see God's presence in us. Now, I know that in cases of abuse, this can seem far too simplistic and possibly even risky. But even in abuse, somehow the perpetrator needs to be confronted and to be shown that we are a human being made in God's image, not to be abused by another, but shown the love and the respect that every person desires. In a little while, we will share communion in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, in the body and blood of Christ. And in that sacrament, we will recognize that somehow Jesus is present. In the breaking of the bread, in the words of our prayers, in the singing of our songs, in the sharing of the wine, somehow Jesus is here. And that presence changes us. The bread and wine change us. And when we consume it, that change is invited to become part of us. That bread and wine become part of who we are. People committed to seeing the presence of Jesus whenever two or three are gathered. People committed to seeing Jesus and God the Creator in the world around us. People committed to righting the wrongs. People committed to living into the gospel that is good news. Good news that indeed we are loved and known by the one who calls us beloved.